existing one too.
I read all your article there about those West Haven.
You pitched it was before the war. Now you pitched for your father.
Oh, you mean at Yale?
Yale.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. You made the majors, and young Collins made the majors too. Right?
That's right.
And was he a good player?
Oh, you bet. He was unbelievably good. Absolutely.
And a football player too, right?
I don't remember him as a football player. Young Eddie was, I think, 2 years below me. I played with him. See, I was captain of the freshman team. And then when I moved up as a sophomore, Eddie was the captain. And I've got pictures. And he was one hell of a ball player, yes. He started, I think, in center field for the, I think it was the Athletics, I'm not sure.
Was there a lot of attention given to, I mean, both of you were on the same team, both had famous parents. Was there a lot of notice in?
A lot of what?
Notice. You know, a lot of writing and a lot of pictures of not only you were playing, but Collins had a famous father too.
Oh, sure. As a matter of fact, I think the two famous fathers got the Red Sox to come down to Yale, you know, as they were finishing up their spring training in Florida. And then that's that picture you saw of we were at Yale Field. Yeah.
Did you, and that was a game?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Did you play in that game?
Oh, you bet.
Did you pitch?
I pitched him maybe an inning because it was early, you know. And I played the outfield and got two hits, how do you like that?
Yeah.
Against the Red Sox pitcher.
You remember who the pitcher was?
No, I forget, but I could show it to you.
That's surprising. Pitchers always know who they
hit.
So how long did you pitch at Yale?
4 years.
4 years?
Freshman. And then we had a great team. We lost one extra inning game, 1-0.
What, the freshman did?
Yeah, to Andover. We won everything else.
And then did you have a good 3 years on the varsity? Were those good teams?
Fairly good. You know, I think we won the majority of the games, but nothing like, you know, when we were freshmen. I think we did better in junior, senior year.
You don't remember any game that you pitched? You pitched a no-hitter. Was it against Harvard?
No, I think it was against, I think it was Wesleyan. And I got the only run on a pass ball. It was still a no-hitter. Yeah.
Do you remember how you did against Harvard? I'm sure that Harvard was still there.
Well, I could show you the last time when I beat them, yes. When I was a junior or a senior.
The last game you pitched.
See, don't forget now, we played them when I was a sophomore and junior and senior, so that there were a lot of games there. But I don't know, it was, you know, we beat them and they beat us.
But there was still great intensity then with the Harvard
game. Oh, always, sure.
And Princeton too?
That's right, yeah.
Now you go and you left Yale in 40, what is it?
One.
And you immediately go to Scranton.
That's right. They sent me right to Scranton.
Who did? The Red Sox did?
Right.
You signed with the Red Sox?
I signed with them, yeah. I see I was out on option to Scranton.
Okay. Well, how do you... Now, that was in the Eastern League.
Right, right.
Okay. Was that a big difference than college ball then? I mean, you were...
Yes, it was a big difference, but I was kind of on a roll there, you know, and I... Of course, you saw the record there in Scranton. You know, I started with a shutout. I had three more, no hitter, one hitter.
Do you remember the no hitter?
Oh yeah.
Who was it again?
Albany, and Ralph Kiner, whom you must have heard of.
Yeah.
He almost broke it up in the last inning by smashing one down to the third baseman. We just barely got him.
Do you remember who the third baseman was?
It's in the write-up. I forget that.
We'll have to check that, though.
Eddie Zippe, I'm sure, was the first baseman who later was my roommate out when we were both with Sacramento in the Pacific Coast.
And Kiner was the last hitter, Joe?
I think that ended the game. Yeah, it was the very last out. You see, he almost spoiled it.
And you remember that?
Oh, I guess so.
You remember what you threw him?
No, I don't remember that.
Were you a fastballer?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You saw it was what, second in the league in strikeouts?
Yeah.
You know, I think in that same game, Pete, they hit me right on the leg with a line drive and a bounce to the second baseman. That's the way we got him out.
You know, but kind of, you distinctly remember pitching to.
Ralph had a he had a reputation then. See, there's certain guys in that league. There was Early Wynn, you know, the pitcher. He was with Springfield. What's the left-hander that is in the Hall of Fame?
Spahn.
And
Warren Spahn.
That's right. He was with Hartford. And let's see. Allie Reynolds was with Wilkes-Barre, I think it was. So they had some.
But these
guys. And Ralph Kiner was one of the, you know, stars in the Eastern League. So I knew when I was pitching to him.
These guys were. Even back then, they were good. It wasn't.
Oh yeah. See, I left there. I went to Scranton after the Yale season was over. You know, in June, whatever, and they had been there all season. So.
It was good baseball.
Oh, you're darn right. Several of them went right up to the majors out of the Eastern League.
When you went to Scranton, were you going like back in Pennsylvania where your family is from? Is that close to?
Going like what, Pete?
When your father had a place in Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah, right.
Was that by Scranton?
Yeah, just about, I'd say, 45 miles this side of it, which is east.
Okay. But you told me on the phone that you don't really consider yourself a product of Pennsylvania. You're a product of New Haven.
I was born and raised up there until Dad. See, he became the baseball coach at Yale, and ever since I was almost in kindergarten, we lived in New Haven. We lived in Morse Cove part of New Haven.
So you were a New Haven product. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, right.
Where did you go to high school?
Hillhouse High School.
You went to Hillhouse, and you pitched at Hillhouse.
Oh, yeah.
So who was the coach?
Emmons Bowen, Chick Bowen.
Oh. So you're another of Bowen's.
All right.
Right.
I played with Eddie Bobinski, if you remember Eddie.
Yeah, I remember.
Tremendous. Jim Bowman, he played baseball and football. Went on to Holy Cross. And Eddie Donnelly.
Was Chick. The coach that people have this great opinion of him, was he that good?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure he was. And another thing, I played with Huck Finn's brother, Timmy. He was really the top pitcher, so we both got going, and we were both doing well. Timmy was he had everything but size. He had tremendous stuff. But I don't think he was much over 5'8", and maybe weighed 125 pounds. You know, that's pretty small for a pitcher. But he had great stuff. Huck will tell you.
Was he as funny as Huck?
Was he what?
As funny as Huck.
Pretty close to it.
Was he? Could he joke like Huck?
Yeah, he was a real nice guy, real nice guy. Poor Timmy, his finger used to get a little blister on it. He had to keep putting stuff on it to try to, you know, that. When you get a blister, it's a trouble right on your pitching finger.
Tell me what happened. Now you left Yale and you go to the Eastern League and you win the first. Or you lost the first one?
No, I won. I think I got started out with a shutout. Yeah.
And then you had four straight shutouts as a pro?
Not four straight, but I stayed there the rest of the season and took my turn, and I had. Six wins, four of which were shutouts, a one-hitter and a no-hitter, which was against Albany. When we won 5-0, that was about on the, I think it was, that's the same score that my dad had a no-hitter in the major leagues. I think it was against St. Louis.
Oh, the no-hitter in the Eastern League was the same score.
Same score, 5-0.
Do you remember the one-hitter? Who did you pitch that against?
That was Williamsport.
You don't remember who got the hit?
No. I think it might be in the write-up, you know, that I might have. I didn't keep all those, either between my wife and mother, that's where I got all those.
That would be interesting. It's certainly interesting that you stopped Kiner in the West.
Yeah, right.
You know, but that was a great year in a league, Joe. I mean, you're talking about the people who played in that league.
Oh, they, plenty of them went up, you know. Without going to Double A or Pacific Coast.
The
Pacific Coast and American Association were about the same. You know, but I think they were both Double A. Scranton was Class A ball.
But still pretty good, right?
You better believe it, they're getting paid.
When you pitched this no-hitter, where was it? Were you home? Was it at Scranton?
Oh, boy, I think it was. I'm pretty sure it was.
Was it a nice ball club?
I forget.
How about Hartford? Do you remember playing in Hartford?
it's been quite a few years.
Yeah, I just remembered whether you remember.
It's almost 50 years.
I remember we went
to Hartford, but now about the ballpark, you know, I played in a lot of ballparks.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a great story. You pitch a no-hitter and it will be there forever. I mean, the record is there forever, Joe.
Oh, yeah.
And the last out was Ralph Kiner. I mean, that's a great story. You had one no-hitter in college?
No, I had a no-hitter.
No-hitter.
Yeah. That was the first one that was ever pitched by a Yale pitcher in this century. So.
It was.
Don't say so. Don't.
It was.
Yeah.
Broca never pitched one. Then.
No, sir, he did not. Johnny Broca.
Yeah.
Nobody.
You, growing up, you remember Johnny Broca?
I mean, oh yeah. You
was
bet.
He this? Your father talked about him being a little crazy. Doing crazy things.
That was a funny situation. Johnny, I don't think, ever even played baseball until he got into Yale, or maybe he's just about to get into Yale. He never did much, but he was a big guy, and he could throw that ball. So, you know, Dad always felt as though he could have gotten more out of himself. He was always one to try to get everything he could out of his players. And he always thought that he, and I won't mention a few others, could have done better. Probably including myself. he was a you know, very good disciplinarian, and he liked to try to get the most out of a player that he was handling.
Can you remember the game that you played against your brothers?
Well, I think there were two of them.
Two
of them. And, yes, I remember one of them. I think my brother got a home run off. But,
which brother?
Steve, I think.
I talked to Bob about it a little bit, but he was pretty busy selling his pictures and stuff. So.
Oh, yeah.
I saw him over in Cranston where they have the baseball history people over there, and I'm a member of that. He's a member too, and I talked to him a little bit. But he said he remembers playing at least one game, and it was a lot of rigmarole about it. The writers writing about
it. But I remember one thing. One of them was not that good a game. I mean, we both got hit pretty good. It was something like a 8-5 ball game. Or, you know, not a...
What was the other pitcher, Bob or Steve?
Steve. He was the Colgate captain. He had great stuff. He pitched... He had a one-hitter against Cornell, and he loafed on a swinging bunt at him. And the runner beat the ball. Beat the ball to the first baseman. That was the only hit they got. You know, he could fire the ball.
And Bob was a hitter, right? He's the first baseman.
Yeah, absolutely. He was. Bob was quite an athlete. He was.
Why did they not go to Yale?
Well, you know, cost money to go to Yale.
Yeah. Even.
And I was the oldest, so the two brothers got scholarships, and Yale at that time was, well, I don't print this, but they were leaning over backwards not to favor athletes. We paid our way.
You didn't get it now, if you're the son of a coach, you get a break through the whole Ivy League, don't you?
It could be. I'm not sure what it is right now. But
I think so, but if you're
they were worried about the big three, especially, and the whole Ivy League, you know, that's eight teams there, the Dartmouth and Columbia, and we had West Point, maybe Navy, Pennsylvania. They all had a rule that you shouldn't subsidize ball players or football players for that matter. You know, now they go out and scout them and everything.
The difference between, you remember how many days it was before you left Yale in your first game as a pro?
Before I what?
When you left Yale.
Yeah.
Then the first game you pitched.
Let me think. It could have been, it might have been a couple of weeks. And the reason for that was I got married right after I graduated. And then, you know, I had signed with the Red Sox. And we actually left for Scranton right away. But then again, you got to kind of, you know, work out with a team and so forth before you get your start. It could have been a week. I could have started in a week. I'm not sure.
You remember any of the other guys that were on that Scranton team?
Gee, not too many right now.
We'll have to look at that.
I've got some of the games and the
no-hitter clipping.
Oh yeah, sure. Right. You can read about Ralph.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it.
That seems to be something that you seem to be interested in.
See, I think I want this. I don't necessarily want the history or the rope history of the thing, rather than, you know, one isolated little thing, which is interesting that you got a no hitter, and the last out of that no hitter was a Hall of Famer.
Oh yeah, right.
I mean, he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, right.
It would be interesting to find out who the last out of your father's no hitter. You could do that. We could find that. Was that a lot of pressure, being Joe Wood's son?
It was enough.
Was it? I mean, they sort of chased you down all the time.
Well, it really didn't bother me, but Dad expected a lot of us, you know, a lot from us.
So.
And the pressure was, in other words, you know, he was such a great star. Hey, just the other day, they said that Roger Clemens got his 100th win, 100 wins at the age of 27. And then at the end, I got the clip, if you want to see it. There were several other, let's say, great pitchers that had gotten their 100th win by the age of 27, but they also said, but Joe Wood, Smokey Joe, he got his 100th win when he was 25. Now that's what the clipping says, but we looked up the record. He had his 100th win when he was 24.
Really?
Yeah.
And he has the record anyway, doesn't he?
Well,
in the modern times, doesn't he? After 1900. He's the youngest man to win 100 games.
I'm not sure.
I think he does.
This is as far as the Red Sox are concerned.
I think everybody.
Yes. I'm not sure about that.
I think
everybody.
He's the youngest.
That's what they said in this article. The Red Sox, yes. The rest, I don't know.
You went to the Red Sox here, it says, in 1944. So you had been pitching a little bit before you got your major league chance, right?
Oh yeah. I went to Scranton, and then they sent me to Louisville at the very tail end, and I got a couple of games. And then the next year I was with Louisville.
Yeah.
and you read a little bit about that. That's when I had the trouble, you know, losing those games.
Now, it says you were 4-10, but in 5 games, they got you 2 runs.
That's right. Shut out 3 times, and I got 1 run and 1 run. That's, you know, that's rough.
Do you remember how that felt? Can you...
Yeah, it's depressing, I'll tell you.
This is the way you started off, Joe? Did you start off that way?
No. You see, when you read that article about the All-Star game, I was winning at that time, but only something like 5-4. Then I lost a bunch of them. Yeah, I didn't win any of those 5 games. Yeah.
The team just went to hell, huh?
Well, they didn't get me any runs.
Did the team bad, or did it just not play for you?
I just happened to pick the day to pitch when they didn't get the runs. You know, that happens. So.
And then it says here they sent you back to Scranton, and then that's when you were a part-time player?
No, that was a little bit different. I was a part-time player during the war because they were interested. I wanted to pitch, and I had a chance of going up there weekends. I was working for the High Standard Machine Gun Factory in New Haven. We all had to get into war work, you know.
Yeah.
But I was able to pitch weekends, and that was the record.
This is 1943. You were 7-7, just pitching
that's
weekends?
Right. That's right.
Now, there was a guy from Hartford that was doing the same thing. His name was Pete Matinas. He came from Duke, went to Duke.
The name is familiar.
He was doing the same thing.
Really?
He was pitching, he was working for Moose Standard or something up there.
Yeah. No, I worked the full week, and everybody had the weekend off, you know, so I was able to go up there, and I usually pitched, I guess, maybe on a Sunday.
So you pitch at home? You only pitch
when
you meet the team on the road?
Gee, I forget. I think if they were on the road and up in Albany, I'd probably go up there or something like that, yeah. I remember, of course, going to Scranton most of the time. Well, they're half the time.
Yeah.
You know, other half on the road. And I must have gone up wherever they were or
drove up.
Oh, yeah. Well, both. Sometimes I drove, and sometimes I took a train right out of, go to New York and get the train heading up to Port Jervis and on up to Scranton.
You don't remember other people doing that?
No.
I mean, there were a lot of strange things going on.
You can work a pitcher in that way, Pete, on a weekend,
yeah.
But it would be hard for a regular player, you know, first, second, third, shortstop, catcher, and so forth. They have to play every day.
But I mean, during the war, teams had to do strange things to keep going, didn't they? During the war, because there was such a lack of manpower, you had to do things to keep going, like have a pitcher show up only on Sunday.
Yeah, sure.
And then you went, then in 44, you were back in Louisville?
Yep.
And then, from Louisville, you went to San Diego. How come they sent you out there?
Well, I don't know. I know San Diego needed help, and Louis Lucier and myself, we were up in Milwaukee, I think, or St. Paul with the club. We had just pitched a doubleheader win. He and I pitched a doubleheader, and we both won. We won the doubleheader, and then we heard we had to go to San Diego, right?
Is that good out there? I mean, is it pretty as nice as it is now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Good place to play.
Oh, yeah. Yep. So San Diego with it. Pete, I'll never forget one thing in my history. A fog every once in a while would blow in. And I mean a dense fog. And I saw it happen. They try to keep playing, but a couple of the balls went right up in the fog, and they were absolutely lost, and they fall down in the outfield. And
this was during the war, and there must have been a lot of sailors in San Diego.
Oh, yeah, right. Sure, I'm sure that's a Marine base.
Yeah. There must have been a lot of people around.
Oh, yeah, sure. Pacific Coast League was, you know, that was, I would say they, it's a little bit bigger than the American Association as far as attendance is concerned. You had a lot of old former major leaguers out there, more so than the American Association.
The 44, and you pitched three games with Boston. Was that the beginning of the year or the end of the year? Or?
I think, I'm not sure. No, I think it was the first part of the year. Yep.
You say you got one start.
That's right.
What happened? Did they jump on you or something?
Well, it's just, I forget. It didn't go that well, but that's the only chance they gave me. I had worked up to that. Well, you know.
Yeah, but they didn't keep you around very long, did they?
No, something like a couple months, and they figured they optioned me out. You know,
yeah.
They felt as though I needed more experience or something. So
that's the way it happened. They sent you to Louisville and then San Diego, or one way or the other?
Huh? Yeah, right. I think we had to go to, we went to Louisville first and San Diego. And I don't know. Yeah. I know I played for Sacramento, and then they sold me to Sacramento.
The Red Sox sold you to Sacramento?
Yeah. And that's pretty much when I hurt my arm. Those other little Fresno and so forth. My arm was bad then, but I still have hopes of it coming back. You know, they're operating on these arms now all the time. Hershiser is Dr. Job in Los Angeles. You injure that rotator cuff, and they get in there with, you know, the arthroscopic surgery, and they trim that thing up and get that to where it doesn't hurt to throw. And Pete, I'll tell you, when you hurt your arm, you know, and tear that thing, that must be what I had. Sometimes you feel the pain down in this area, you know, just a little bit below the shoulder. And yet, it's referred from this rotator cuff that starts up in the shoulder.
Do you remember, was there a certain instance where you hurt your arm?
No, I don't.
I mean, there wasn't one game that you did something?
In other words, a lot of pain, and yeah. No. No, it just seemed to get worse, and then, you know, you can't. They want you to pitch bat in practice. You pitch a game, you take a day's rest. Pitch bat in practice, rest, and pitch. We had 3 days, so you don't like to miss your turn. A lot of these pitchers, and probably including myself, you know, you're not going to admit that something hurts. And you try to work it out, and most of the time you work it out.
Where's this instance you said where you had a bonus if you won more than...
That was in San Diego. That was in San Diego. Yeah.
That wasn't a good... You think it was a bad idea now?
Well, I don't think today they would let anybody do that. But it didn't seem to bother me because we played after the season was over. I'll never forget we were playing with the teams around San Diego, and I stayed out there for a while before we came back east, and it didn't seem to bother me. I don't think I heard it that particular time, but you know, doing a thing like that could strain your arm, you know, to the extent where you might get hurt.
Well, what was the story now? If you won this game, you got a bonus if you won more than you lost?
That's it, right.
It was in a contract?
Oh, yeah. Well, I forget. I know the manager, owner, they told Louis and I both, Lou Sear, both, that if we won more than we lost, they would give us, wasn't much. It might have been a couple of $100s. But in those days, I mean, you're talking $1,000 a day, so what the heck? You can work that extra game in, pick up $1,000. And once again, don't forget, it's only about 200.
But you had pitched that on one day, and then the next 2 days later you came back?
I got the article about it, too. I had, I pitch a complete game against Lefty O'Doul. He was managing San Francisco. And then...
he wasn't pitching.
Oh, no, he's mad. And then one day's rest, and I'll be darned if I didn't have some, I came back again and shut the same club out.
So both of them were against Frisco.
Right. They were in town, they were down in San Diego.
In the last game of the year, or your last game?
I think it was just about the last series we had. Yes, that was my last chance to have more wins than losses, because I was even. And it was a last place club, so we were doing all right. Yeah, they weren't last place.
San Diego was
last place at the time. Yeah.
Joe, are there any other games, either at Yale or in your whole career, that you remember? Are there games that stick out?
There's one I remember. We were playing in Indianapolis.
Who are you with?
I'm with Louisville, and I had my best chance to get a lot of strikeouts. This is a step out of the major league now, and I had 10 of them struck out in the first six innings. You know, five the first three innings, five the second three innings. I could have pitched the last three innings and got five more. I would have had 15 strikeouts. That's a lot. So what do I do but get a great big blister on this finger right here where you hold the ball. And I put a piece of tape around it and put some mud on it so they couldn't see the white thing, And went out and I finished the game, but I only got one more strikeout. So I wound up with 11.
You don't remember who you were pitching against?
I think it was some. I don't even have the record of that game, the box score. But it was some Indian fella, and a hell of a good pitcher. He had been in the major league, and I know I just remember one thing. He swung the ball over his head because I blew it by him. So I remember that because I had a chance to get. I had gotten 10, 11 strikeouts several different games, but that one I had a chance to hit that.
What's the most strikeouts you ever had in a game?
I think that's about it in pro ball.
How about at Yale?
Something about.
Did you ever strike out at Yale?
Maybe. There was more than that. I remember there were. I've gotten more than that.
Do you remember who your catcher was at Yale?
Oh, yeah. One catcher was my roommate. His name was Buster Depp. And the poor fellow is now dead. He had diabetes. He died maybe 5 years ago. The other catcher, who was the first string catcher, was a fellow named Jack Schroeder. And, quite a guy. He became vice chairman of J.P. Morgan in New York, the big bankers.
The guys that used to use Yale, right? People like Red Rolf would come down and use the facility.
Well, he became the coach there.
Yeah. But even...
Red Rolf coached
right.
Yale.
Right. But even before that, when he was playing, wouldn't he come down from New Hampshire and work out a little bit?
He played with the Yankees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eddie Wilson, the outfielder from... Haven.
Oh, some of those fellows did, yes. There was a Frankie McGowan used to work out with the Yale team in the spring.
Did these guys help you at all? Did you ever talk to them?
Not really. They were just they were getting in shape themselves. I remember Frankie McGowan well.
Yeah, he's a nice man.
Certainly was.
Wow. You remember anybody in the league, in the Ivy League then? That was a standout. Anybody from Princeton or Harvard? I think one year.
Frank Barowe's name? Remember Hank Barowe?
Oh, yeah. Bowery, yeah.
B-O-R-O-W-Y.
Yeah.
He I think he went up to the majors.
He was pitching in the
Oh yeah.
In the Ivy League somewhere?
Yeah. See, there were some damn good ball players with Fordham and Holy Cross.
You must have played against the West Haven baseball coach. Oh, Whitey Purick.
Probably. I kind of forget.
He was playing at home for Holy Cross.
Yeah.
So you probably...
I played a lot of ball in New Haven. I played with the Adleys team and the Stories Dairy, you know, during the summer.
Did you ever pitch in the West Haven Twilight League?
No, not the league, but we played against them. I played with the Hillcrest.
Hillcrest.
Yeah, absolutely.
Was Huck playing with the Hillcrest?
Oh, yeah, that's when I played with him.
Now that was excellent baseball, wasn't it?
Oh, you're darn right it was. There was Jimmy Sheehan and Red Sheehan and Walt, remember Walt Klimczak? You know,
yeah,
the poor Walt died recently.
Yeah.
Walt
had,
was
I met the man, he had a PhD.
Absolutely.
And I remember...
Mathematics, I
think. Yeah, and I remember him saying to Huck...
Great guy.
Saying to Huck, you know, I should be referring to him as a doctor. Why, hell, you don't know what I've done
yet. Oh, no, you don't.
He was a brilliant man, I think.
Oh, absolutely. And a good ball player. He played pro ball for a while.
He played through the 30s.
I think he was something like a third baseman for a while. Then he became a catcher.
Yeah. Would you do it all over again, what you did?
Oh, I think so, absolutely. Yeah. Well, we saw the country, you know. We know somebody got married. We went to Scranton. We went to Don't forget, you go to Scranton, you go all over the East. Then we went to Louisville, you go all over the Midwest. We're up in, you know, Toledo, Kansas City, Columbus. I batted against Harry the Cat Rakeem. You remember?
Yeah.
Boy, he's a left-hander. He threw a ball, I thought it was going to hit me on the shoes, and it just comes right up on strike, you know.
So it was a good... What was your major at Yale?
My major was... I had a Bachelor of Arts degree.
Yeah.
My major was Sociology, or which is a science of society.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of pre-law students take that.
And then, so did you must have used the degree after the baseball was over.
Well, I don't know, Not really. I loved geology, and I could have majored in geology. I took, you know, I studied quite a bit, 3 years of geology, all about the ground, the earth's crust and the groundwater.
Are you still interested in that?
Oh, very much so. That's what it's all about these days, you know, the environment, the water, the groundwater, and the pollution. And I understand everything that goes on under the ground.
Well, that's good. I mean, after baseball, what did you do?
Well, after baseball, I had a mink ranch.
Oh, that's right.
I had a big mink ranch. We had about 4,000 animals.
That's in Pennsylvania?
Well, I had just about that size up there, and then we moved it down here, and I have 50 acres here.
Yeah.
And that's why we moved the ranch down here. I have pictures of that.
But I mean, that's what you did for a living.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Let's see. About 20 years. There's a lot of money in the mink business, they always say.
Yeah.
We put it there.
Do you?
Oh, you know, things are going great, Pete, for us all over the country. When I moved down, I was elected the head of the Connecticut group, and I was trying to get active in that group, but it was very interesting. I loved it, and we were going fine until the government let them dump men from overseas. They just
Oh, Mink we're talking
about. Oh, yeah, they just ruined it. They just ruined it. We tried to get a quota, and just a quota, you know, just say bring 40% of the crop, the sold, the amount, the number that was sold, just limit them to 40%. Pretty soon they were bringing in 60% of everything that was sold in New York, and everybody had to get out of business. So it was a good business prior to that.
Do you get any requests, because you're in all the encyclopedias, do you get requests for autographs?
Oh, God.
Do you really?
Believe it.
How many do you get, say?
Practically one a week, and sometimes more, you know. And I try to answer them. They ask questions. They want pictures. And I got one on the table in there.
You really get?
Oh, yeah, a lot of them.
What are the questions?
Well, they ask all kinds of questions, and I don't have time. You know, you just don't have time. If they will send a self-addressed envelope, just ask for signatures on, you know, say a few cards, sometimes even a half a dozen or more. I can get that done and send them out, but I don't get around to answering a bunch of questions.
I mean, it's interesting what kind of question they would ask. Do they usually ask about your father?
Yes.
I'll
show you a typical one. One just laying on the table in there. I meant to give it to my brother because he's, as you know, involved in baseball memorabilia. Hey, you know what I saw the other day? I don't mean to digress, but it's today's paper. Somebody dug up a. Did you see
Horace
that?
Wagner.
That's right, a Horace Wagner.
In a tobacco can.
It could be worth $10,000, $15,000, $10,000.
Well, they say it's worth $100,000.
Oh, wow.
And the guy was offered $10,000. Somebody offered? We have a guy that works with us. I work at Bases.
How do you like that?
And there's a guy that's from up there, Pittsfield, Maine.
Yeah.
The guy that's...
You know, a lot of people don't realize my dad, he was up there pitching when he was 18. And I think it was when he was 22 years old. It could possibly have been 23 now, real young. This pitching year is going back of him. He hurt his arm.
Yeah.
He had his best 10 to 15 years in front of him, and he hurt his arm, and that's it.
There's no question.
He still pitched with a bad arm, I think in 1915. And had a 1.49 ERA and 115 and lost 5. But see, he wasn't pitching that 30 some odd wins.
Did he like the college scene? Did your father?
Sure.
He was there a long time.
Yeah, about 20 years.
Yeah, he enjoyed that.
Oh, very much. Yeah.
And he had some good players. He had Broca.
He had who?
Johnny Broca and guys.
Yeah.
But he did enjoy that.
Yes, very much.
Do you remember as a kid?
Not too many players out of Yale are heading for pro ball.
Yeah.
You know,
do you remember as a kid, like in your young teens, your father coaching at Yale?
Oh, yeah, right. I even remember when he was still playing with Cleveland, he'd bring us into the clubhouse, you know, we were running around.
Yeah, but it was, you remember coming to New Haven?
Oh, yeah, right.
And
let's see, that was in 24. I was born in 16. Well, I was eight or nine years old when we came to New Haven.
You're the oldest?
1924. I'm the oldest.
You're the oldest, older than your sister, too.
And what?
Your sister.
My sister?
She's younger than you.
Yeah, she's a brother, she's a twin of Bob.
Oh, well, that's right.
Yeah.
And Bob has worked very hard to get your father lasting recognition.
I know, yeah, I know.
Boy, and he seems to be very successful whenever...
Well...
Yeah, I mean, everybody he talks to always agrees with
it. It's unfortunate that he hurt his arm at that early. Imagine it, what he could have been. As a matter of fact, I can show you one write-up in there where it says that in that one season where he had reached his peak, and see, it was the following spring when he broke his thumb or something. Didn't throw right or something. Anyway, he did come up with a bad arm. But in that one season, he was the greatest pitcher that ever lived.
Yeah, Walker Johnson said that.
Well, did you ever hear? He had won 16 straight. Now, this is a little bit of a story, but it's going to be quick, but it's about him. He had won his 16th straight game, and he's shooting for the 17th. And with two outs and the bases, a couple men on bases, the guy hits a pop fly to the substitute shortstop. He went in because the regular shortstop was hurt. And he let it go over his head. And that's the way, and they're running with two outs. That's the way he got beat. Then he won two or three more. He would have had about 20, 21 straight wins.
Did he talk a lot of baseball? Did
you think? Yeah. Not that. Well, he'd tell us about, you know, playing. And, of course, he knew the game. He was a student. That's right.
And he knew what he was doing, too.
Oh, yeah, wonderful guy.
And was instrumental in your career?
Well, he was the freshman coach when I was there.
Oh, he coached you as a freshman?
That's right.
And then he helped your father with the varsity, too? Or?
Not so much. He had everything he could do with a freshman, you know, and Dad had everything he could do with the varsity. Of course, they're very good friends. If the freshman ever finished and the varsity had to, you know, play another week or something like that, oh, sure, he would be over there. But he had to stay with his freshman until they finished.
Back then, freshman baseball, the freshman program was very important. It got a lot of interest, right? A lot of attention. And now they don't even have a freshman program. But
they don't?
The freshman can play with the varsity.
Is that right? This must be rather recent because
the football team can't.
The football teams can't.
In the Ivy League. The Ivy League can't use freshman football players. But they can use freshman baseball.
But they can use freshman? Yeah, that sounds like Scott Burrell, huh? I was reading about him in today's paper. He didn't get into the baseball yet. But I didn't realize that. No, we had to stay with the freshmen, you know.
But even afterwards, Joe, college baseball was a very big thing. I mean, in New Haven, the Yale was, you got a lot of people to come to watch.
Oh, yeah, you bet.
And beating Harvard was very important.
Well, yeah, that's right. That was the game.
And you don't remember, though, any of the Harvard. I know you beat Harvard one time.
I think we beat them about as much as they beat us.
Well, one time you beat them.
Yeah.
And
I'll show you the write-up. I haven't had that.
Well, you beat them, and I think I read someplace, and you won the championship. You won the league championship. And Eddie Collins did something. You had four hits or five hits or something.
Well, he must have. He was a great player. I can't imagine why he didn't make it better up there. When he first went up, I don't know whether he was out, you know, getting some seasoning in the minors or not. He, very few college players go directly to the majors. Don't forget, you're playing for money now, boy. but Eddie did very shortly after he left Yale. He started, I think it was center field for the Athletic, Connie Mack.
Then he wound up in the front office. He wound up working for the Philadelphia Phillies, didn't he?
I wouldn't doubt it.
I think he was in
there were some Yale men that owned, I think what I remember, Carpenter. Right, that owned the Phillies.
Yeah.
Well, he would certainly be capable to doing work like that.
Which was DuPont. The Carpenters were part of the DuPont family.
Yeah.
You know, the DuPonts from
Oh, yeah.
That's where the Carpenter money came from the DuPont.
I didn't know that.
His mother was a DuPont. Original Carpenter, the mother was.
That always helped.
Yeah, that's sizable money. I don't remember any other games other than the one where you struck out 15. You
know, no, I had a chance.
No, okay.
Don't forget.
Yeah.
Don't forget. It's pretty hard. Most players these days would probably have to stop, and they'd have one of the relievers come in when you're worn up a big blister. But I was able to get a piece of tape on it, and I had to blacken it up with some mud, a little bit of mud.
Did you ever load one up?
Did I ever what?
Throw a spitball, put anything on the board?
No, not a spitball. No. But I threw a slider.
Before its time then, huh? Where'd you learn to throw a slider?
Well, they were throwing them then, Pete.
Were they?
Yeah, sure, when I was just.
Did you ever see anybody load one up, Joe? Did you ever see anybody throw a spitball?
Spitball?
Or, put
out. That was out.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, they must have been throwing them. They're throwing them.
I know how they do it. I can tell you how they do it.
Yeah. But you don't remember anybody doing it?
No.
No,
that was outlawed.
I know, but they're doing it now. They scuff the ball up.
I can tell you a few things about making a baseball do things if you want to hear afterwards.
Who told you how to do that? Did your father do that?
Yeah, some of it. No, he didn't do it, but he told me how they did it. You've seen them catch the guy with the sandpaper in his remember?
Yeah.
And who was it? They actually, huh?
Stan Sutton, they caught with the thumbtack.
Oh, really? Yeah. But somebody had a piece of sandpaper. Remember he threw it down and...
Oh, Necro.
Yeah, right.
Necro.
That's right.
And the file, the women used the file.
Yeah.
Yeah, it goes like this and throws it up in the air.
No, I know how to throw all those pitches. If you want to, you must know yourself. Did you play baseball yourself?
Yeah, I played.
I can imagine. Are you over 6 feet?
No, about 5'11".
About what?
5'11".
Really?
Not quite 6 feet.
I'm just
I have a son that's 6'5".
Oh, yeah? Wow.
He drove race cars.
Oh,
all I thought about was baseball, all he thinks about is driving
a car. Oh, boy. I'm just about six. If I took, stock and feet, maybe I'd be...
We're about the same. Do you remember, Joe, when you knew it was done, when you knew that your career was finished, how you felt?
Well, it was somewhat of a shock, because I had... I was doing all right. And I had a chance to get, to get up. I'll tell you something confidentially when we get this off.
but when did you realize that? Because you say you pitched here with Fresno.
Well, it was in the very lab when I was with Sacramento. I had hurt my arm.
But you came back and pitched these other 2 years just believing you might have another chance?
Yeah, making some money, There's something on the end there that I don't really know. I'll have to ask you about it. But the last pitching I did was with Sacramento when I hurt my arm, and they let me go,
Yeah.
Couldn't get anybody out. So they did want me. They came, and they wanted me to go down to Fresno, and I was able to, stay with them and with the hopes that things would get better, but... They did. That's why I was down with Fresno. That's the California League.
Yeah.
Fresno was down a little bit from Sacramento.
And that was the end?
Yeah.
So this other thing in the Sooner State League,
I never saw
another
that.
Wood.
That must be.
Sure.
That must
another
be.
Joe Wood.
What was that, the Sooner?
Sooner League. Oklahoma.
No, never there.
You weren't there?
No.
See?
No, that's another Wood. What did he do? Maybe if he's got a good record,
three
I'll take
four.
It. What?
3-4.
2-4?
3-4.
3-4.
554, though. We don't need that.
What year?
47.
47. That's just about when I was quitting, wasn't it?
Yeah, but you say Fresno when it was...
Fresno was the very last. Because I had left Sacramento, or they had released me before the season was over. I had a little bit of time there, and the Fresno people, I think they're Cardinal organization, and asked if I would want to work out with them and maybe pitch for them. And I said, well, yeah, I was interested. So we did get down, and I was able to do enough to sign a contract with them. And I pitched another month or something like that. It wasn't much.
But that was the same year?
I think so.
This here, sis. I got you 45 with Sacramento. You pitched 28 games.
Yeah.
And then the next year you were at Fresno, 47.
Well, now, I must have been... I never, in other words, started a season with Sacramento as Fresno. No. 45
you were at Sacramento.
But I must have been maybe started a season with Sacramento. I was a couple years in Sacramento. That was your show?
No.
No, well, I was.
You were a couple years in
Sacramento. I'm sure, I'm almost positive of that. We can look at some of the...
Okay. Well, why don't we don't do that? Why don't we do that then? We'll look at that scrapbook.
Yeah, sure. Anything else?
No, that's it. We'll turn it back on when we're looking at that. Kick your memory up, you know?
Okay. It says, Wood, whose only previous no-hitter on behalf of his Pops Yale squad saw Wesleyan score a run in the spring of 1940, prospered under the terrific tension, and was well-nigh invincible going down the stretch as he completed another string of 9 successive victims. He got pinch swatter Virgil Brown on an easy fly to Danny Carnival.
Kiner.
Yep. And slipped a third strike past the ever-dangerous Harry Leppard. This left only 18-year-old Ralph Kiner between Wood and the goal his dad achieved just a few days more than 30 years ago.
Yep.
Cool as a meat storage vault, he worked carefully on the California juvenile. The result was a frisky hopper to Steve Barath at third. The recent acquisition from Albany handled it nicely, but threw high and wide at first. It couldn't have been anything save an error, but Eddie Zappe, the pink-cheeked Sturgis grocery boy, avoided any argument by leaping higher than most of the already stratospheric hearts to come down with the ball a couple of feet ahead of the on-rushing Kiner. So you got...
You must have tagged him out or
something.
No, well, see, then that was the last out, right?
Yeah.
That's the only thing that stood in the way of, getting a no-hitter.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out what you did here. You walked 3 and struck out 5. So I want to see if you got any hits. You pitchers.
I didn't...
No, you didn't get any hits, but you scored a run.
Yeah. Well, mine... All right, one of the 5.
This must have been August 7th then, right?
Getting it into the next... Yeah, sure, yeah. We played night ball.
Yeah.
I guess, Pete, that's the thing I wanted to mention. You know, back when my dad was playing, all-day games, and it's a hell of a lot easier to... You know, you don't see the ball quite... You see the ball okay, but you don't see it quite as well as... Now you asked about that other, shutout. Let me see.
This one here. You made your pro debut on July 17th, and you pitched a 4-0 win over Hartford. And your wife, Harriet, was there, and your father was there.
Yep.
So he was there for your first for a couple of pretty big wins there.
Oh, he should have done it. He should. I think that's.
Then you got a 1-0 win over.
Leon Culberson played for this team. He was with the Red Sox for a while. Leon Culberson. We may not remember. That's the team. Now the only other thing we wanted, you asked a question about that other one hitter. Let me see if I can trace that.
This was a 4-hitter when you beat Embry.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the game I said that had Lemon played third base and Hegan was in right field. That can't be the same Joe Hegan, because I think Hegan was in the Yankee operation.
This is Elmira.
So that was it.
We got 3 hits this time, but that wasn't the one hit. I'll find it.
It must be a great feeling, though, to...
This is a 4-1 ball
thing. Yeah.
I have to shoot me for a minute, Pete.
Okay.
I got to go to the bathroom for sure.
All right. I'll just sit here and look at this stuff.
I'll find that one where we got the one here, too. Yeah.
But this was there were some outstanding players in the league that year. My God, you know the Neiman. He made the majors.
Mm-hmm.
Playtech made the majors. There's a lot of guys that came up to play in the
oh yeah. Allie Reynolds was in that league. He went up to, you know, he was a great pitcher with the Yankees, for the Indians.
It must be something just to have your name, you know,
well,
on a list of guys that pitched a no-hitter. I mean, golly, there's not too many people do that, a professional no-hitter.
This is another write-up about the when we beat Embry.
Oh. But that was a four-hitter. Look, Barath scored the run in that game.
Culberson went up to the Red Sox.
Yeah. Barath scored the run for you in that game.
Did they say any? Oh, what is? It's different, though.
No, that's the same. Same
the
day.
The same thing. Yeah. I see. Well, there's no...
Same.
I like to kind of try to... This is pretty much all Scranton stuff.
So yeah. This is...
Everyone keep that stuff all together.
I think this is all Scranton, is it not? No, that's Yale.
No, you got Yale.
Yeah, this here, I'm screwing this all up.
See, there's one of the... It would be Colgate in the tent.
This is Scranton. Look what I did to you here.
This is Scranton.
This is Scranton. Okay. Is this your no-hitter?
You mean at Yale? Maybe.
No, that's Illinois Wesleyan. You pitched a no-hitter against Wesleyan. Middletown Wesleyan.
Yeah. This is Yale over here.
Yeah. Oh, this is Scranton here.
These things are getting old, kind of old.
Yeah. Yeah. So am I.
I'm gonna keep. See, this is Scranton. I'll just move them from here to here.
Okay.
This is all.
If we can find the one hitter, that would be.
Yeah.
Sure, I think it's extraordinary that when you pitch a no-hitter, you know? Plus, you're a young kid almost there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's after the game where Dad was there. You didn't see that before, did you?
No. And this is the one where you pitched...
This is the
one where you pitched against Hartford.
Yeah, right, so...
That was your pro debut.
Yep, that's what we're about.
Well, let me see that now. Who was playing for?
Oh, here's the family. Now, there's Dad. My brother Bob was in the Army. That's my sister and a friend. There's my wife, Harriet.
Yeah.
They were, and Mom.
Yeah.
My mother. In the stands. That's Grant.
Look at your father with those sunglasses on. That was part of a doubleheader. Your pro debut. Not bad, Joe. We're opening up with a shutout.
I've got a lot of the baseballs, you know. When you get a good game and they give you the baseball, so I just write the score and the date.
Yeah.
And I got quite a few around. What's this now? That's not much.
Well, that was in the playoffs.
Series opener or something.
In the playoffs. Did you pitch in the playoffs that year?
Undoubtedly. I don't know. I'm looking for that one piece that you know you're interested in.
So this one here, it says that you've won two games over Albany and Binghamton. You dropped a 12-inning decision to Albany.
Well, I did, huh?
Yeah.
What was the score? In those days, we pitched the first full 12 innings, too.
Yeah, it says that one of your losses was a 12-inning job, I guess.
No, it's not this. See, this is they got one run.
Mm-hmm. You definitely pitched a one-hitter, though, right?
Well, you better believe it.
After, was it before or after the no-hitter? Do you remember that?
I think it was after.
It must have meant something special to have your father watching. My God. That's when you won
the governor's cup.
You won the governor's cup, yeah. Did you pitch in that one?
I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah.
How about that? Here you go, and this is some Sunday, September 20th. That you won the governor's cup?
Pete, I'm gonna find out one for you.
Well, don't. This one here, it says that you beat, who'd you beat? You beat Binghamton 8-6, and you pitched in relief. You struck out 5 and you walked 3. You gave up a hit in 2 1/3 innings.
Hey, that's pretty good, Pete.
You were the winning pitcher.
I didn't know.
You were the winning pitcher and when they won the championship, the Eastern League Governor's Cup in 1942. That's not bad. Oh, there's Joe. It says he's threatened in their half of the 10th. Joe Buzis walked. You fanned McBride. You picked Buzis off second base with a lightning throw to Kozar and wrote Feeney to the series by fanning Steve Souchek, the league's leading hitter, for the final out. This is from the September 20th, 1942 Scrantonian. Well, the game went 3-6-9 in the 10th inning. Steve Souchek, he played in the majors too.
Who was that again?
Steve Souchek.
That sounds familiar.
Yep, you picked him off, or you fanned him. That was the last out of the 1942 championship season. And
here's something that's going to interest you. Chris Speaker, the great gray eagle, was my dad's roommate, you know, in Cleveland.
Yeah.
And the Red Sox, for that matter, I think. And there he is. See, there's dad here, mom. Yeah. Right? Chris Speaker.
Yeah. He's the one that got your father the Yale job, they say. He was friends with the athletic director at Yale, the Speaker was.
Could be. It could be. Because, Here's one of the other Colgate games, see? You were interested in that.
Oh.
See, it was no 2-0 game or anything
that. Yeah, you beat him 5-4.
Yeah.
You got 2 hits. So you're a good college hitter, right?
See, here's the other one, 11-5.
Okay. That wasn't all in the same year, though, right? Or was that the same year?
Let me say one thing. You get up and play pro ball, and you're a pitcher. They let you do some batting practice, but you don't, don't get your hands.
That's not your job, right?
See, some of those, you watch the Mets games at all. I like the Mets.
Yeah.
That's Sid Hernandez. He's been getting some pretty good hits.
Well, he always was a good hitter. Yeah. Better put that back, Joe, because we don't want to get it mixed up.
Okay, right. This is just a bunch that I haven't put into, you know. Well, if I don't find it, you're going to have to take my word for that.
Oh, I see. Okay. You came back. Albany won the 42 pennant, but you guys came back to win the Governor's Cup. Well, that's pretty good. We have that.
I don't know what this even is, but look at the date on it. 1912.
That must be about your father.
It must be.
Chances are it's not about you, right?
I hope not. Now, here, by God, this is a lousy score, but there's one time we beat Harvard.
See? Wow, look at this. Look at this.
Here's where we beat Fordham. And Fordham is hard to beat.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
I'll get rid of that.
You want to keep these together here now. We don't want to get them all mixed
up. These are all ones that
get them all mixed up.
Fordham always had a real tough club.
Do you remember your father saying anything to you, Joe, when you pitched that no-hitter? And did he say, nice job, or...
Well, I guess... I guess you might say he knew I was pleased, but he probably didn't tell me so.
He didn't give too much away, huh? Well, there's not a whole lot of people pitch no hitters. You pitched one in college and one you ever think about this when you watch the Mets and you watch Kiner, you say you like to watch the Mets? Do you think about that?
Of course. I watch Ralph all the time. You know, he's broadcasting with Jim McCarver.
Yeah.
And incidentally, it's great that these old ball players are, broadcasting those games because, hey, you know, both I do, they know so much more about the game than somebody that hasn't played baseball. You can see it all the time. They can anticipate the next move all the time.
Yeah, McCarver is really good, I guess.
Yeah, I think he's a great forecaster.
The guy that made the last out there, the third baseman. Did you keep?
That's a good picture.
Did you keep in touch with him at all, or do you know whatever happened to him? Or
you mean the guy that made the last out, Eddie Ziffey?
Yeah.
On first base.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, were you friends with him?
Oh yeah. He lives just near Scranton.
Are you still there?
Yeah, he used to come. Well, he was my roommate when we both went to Sacramento. They asked me out there who was a good first baseman. I told him this fellow was really good. So they did get him, and he made good with the club. And then back in the off season, he loved to hunt. See, and we have a little 200-acre farm up there, whatever, and a lot of deer on it. So he came down, and we hunt together too. Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So that was a good... Do you still know him, or do you still ever see him?
I haven't. He was down here once. I've been so damn busy with different things. I've been developing our land here. Now, here's an interesting thing you might look at.
This is you remember Herb Pennock, that left-handed pitcher. I guess he
pitched for the Yankees, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so. But there he is thinking about something. I don't know what it's about, but it's just a picture. That's when I was with the Louisville club.
Yeah, he was a he was with the Phillies for
left-handed.
Yeah,
he was. And he was head of their farm.
Yeah, with the Phillies, right, for a while. Did he work with the Red Sox too?
I don't know. He said he was a teammate of old Smokey Joe with the Boston Red Sox in 1915. Well, by God, that's possible.
I think this is the...
Huh. He was one of those slick left-handers.
Yeah. I'm sure he pitched with the... I think he pitched with the... Later he pitched with the... pitched with the Yankees, I think.
There's one game I would like to show you. And that is that last game I pitched for Yale before against Harvard.
Okay,
that would be a good one. I'll find that in the other.
Clemenson was the guy was the losing pitcher that day.
Oh, there's another guy now. Sal Magley.
Sal Magley,
pitching for...
Elmira?
And one of us beat him. See, it says that here's a good... Now, there's Eddie Zippe right there.
Yeah.
And here's Andy Gilbert. He was up with the Red Sox.
Yeah.
He also managed in this Eastern League, he managed...
Waterbury, didn't he?
I forget just who it was, but he managed for quite a few years in this Eastern League, and I don't know, I seem to get, I must have been in this game, let's see that.
You beat Magley, I guess. Let's see if we can find a box score.
Yeah, let's see what the box score is.
Yeah, you beat Magley.
Well, he won 21 games.
21 games, but this one here he didn't win. You beat him. Yeah. That must have been the last game. Is this 42?
This is 8. The score was 8-3.
Yeah,
so
what's
the
year?
We must have got him out of there pretty early.
It's not.
See, the team has sold their two best pitchers.
Yeah, but I'm trying to find out what year this is.
Well, it should be
1941, this is.
It should be all right on August of 41.
See, that was the last game of the year.
Take a look at the season.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So that was the... As you look back, was that your best season? Do you remember that? Is that the best of all the years?
What do
you
mean?
Know, coming right out of Yale and going in and pitching no-hitters?
I suppose maybe you'd have to call it the best.
Yeah. You think maybe you got too much too soon, Joe? Did you look back?
Mm. No,
I don't think so. What the hell? You didn't have a bad career.
I didn't quite hear.
I think sometimes a pitcher will have too much too soon.
No.
And then he tries to equal it, you know, as he goes on. But you.
No, I was doing all right on the next few years. I know in spring training, Lucier and myself, we shut out some club, you know, in spring training.
Yeah.
I don't know whether I'm going to find that thing or not for you, Steve, but we'll look at something else. Oh, here was a hell of a game we had against this is a memorable game. You said you remember certain games. See, this is against Holy Cross. We beat them, and they had a long streak going. Let's see now, what we ended there. Let's see.
May 1st. You held them to 5 hits.
Then I drove in the winning run.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, but let's see now. How many had they won? It was a lot.
It was the first defeat Coach Berry's boys have encountered in 21 college contests.
That's right. They had been
since April 19th, 1940.
That's right. See, they had won over 20 games without being beaten, and we were able to knock them off in extra innings.
Is there any question where you were going to sign?
Well, there was, yeah. I know there's a couple of other clubs that were bidding for me, but I wanted to go to the Red Sox. Yeah.
There was no question.
Connie Mack's team, you know, Connie Mack, the Philadelphia Athletics, and the Chicago Cubs. You know, they were interested enough to offer me a contract. I didn't press it because I knew I wanted to, you know, go on with the Red Sox.
That was a 10-inning game, the one when you beat.
Yeah, the Holy Cross, yeah. I'm just about done with this. Now there's another. You didn't see this. This is, we're working out in the, that's Tony Lupien.
Yeah.
You must remember him.
Yeah, Harvard boy.
That's Jim Tabor and myself and George Woods. We were working out that spring in a Tufts cage up in Medford, outside of Boston.
You'd think, though, that the last game you pitched at Yale, Joe, you pitched against Harvard.
Yeah, right. I'll dig that out for you in a minute. If you can stay any longer.
Yeah, well, not too much longer because I want to. But I'm going. Tell you, I'm going. Most times people throw me out when you're talking about baseball. You know? I never know enough to go home.
There's some interesting things that you recognize. See, my dad was Walter Johnson.
Yep.
With Christy Mathewson and Carl Hubbell.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
I guess you remember them.
Yeah. Well, I don't remember them, but I...
Or of them.
Yeah, I certainly...
Now, let me see the...
This is the Yale stuff right here.
Oh, you got the Yale stuff?
Yeah. I don't know whether that's the beginning or the end here, but that's Yale. And this here you just put here. And this here belongs to
Grant.
This here you took out of that other one.
This is just a bunch of odds and ends. Because I haven't, that's why I was looking through the other one. So I can't find that one, but believe me, it was a swing and bunt, and that's the way they got their other hit.
Against you now? You're talking about?
This is in Scranton.
Yeah. And this is the one hitter.
Yeah.
It was a swinging bunt.
Yeah.
And you couldn't field it? No, I mean, who?
It's just, you know, sometimes they swing on the third base line and they're just right along the line, you know, it's just one of those things where it's almost impossible to throw them out. Unless the third baseman comes in and grabs it with one hand.
Yeah. And you don't remember who it was, though? No, I mean, what team it was.
Which one you got now?
This
Yale?
Is Yale. Yeah, I don't.
Let's see. Yeah, that's for sure. Where did you want that?
That's
okay. Is that still working?
Yep. Not going to work for much longer.
I must have that clipping because that was.
That's the Red Sox.
This is all of Red Sox stuff, yeah.
The first. The first game you played in the majors, did you start? Were you the starting pitcher? You relieved?
I pitched at Yankee Stadium. My mother was against the Yanks.
You did?
Yeah. It was, like you say, not a start.
Yeah.
See, what they do, when you haven't played before, is they'll put you in two or three games to see how it goes, and then if they think you've earned a start, they'll give you one. Well, I only got one. I wonder if I could
Yeah.
Grab some of those and maybe we can.
Here's Harvard.
It's in other words, I shut them out. Just look for a shutout game. And it's probably something across the.
Okay, here's the. This must have been 1940, because.
41.
Yeah, but this was the last game of 1940 because you were elected captain for 41.
Oh yeah.
See, this must have been the last 1940 game, right?
Right. Yeah.
They beat you. Like you say, that you won some and lost some.
Oh, here's another record of that when we beat Holy Cross.
Yeah, that was 20 games.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, I enjoyed this. I haven't looked through these in quite some time.
Well, I'll have to admit that I was thinking about that no-hitter. And it's even better than I thought, Joe. Getting Ralph Kiner on the last.
Oh, well, now you verified that one.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and you remembered it pretty good. Here's one where you beat Colgate 5-4.
Here's a good picture with Eddie Collins. Eddie Collins.
But Collins was really a good player. Oh, I mean, it wasn't just that he